Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Drill Down. We've got business stories behind stocks on the move. I'm Corey Johnson with episode number 208. Well, just ahead, can the newly emerging build-to-rent business save home builders from rising rates? Plus, Advanced Auto Parts having some real problems. But is the problem the industry or just a crummy company? And measuring the health of the economy with an inside look at some of the successful malls in some of the nation's fastest growing cities, Whitestone REIT CEO Dave Holloman joins us. But first, it's sponsor time.
The Drill Down is brought to you by Era. Never miss another critical event or insight ever. With Era, customize your company watch list and track key events, mentions, filings, and more, all within an easy-to-use, customizable interface. That's Era, AIERA.com.
And you can listen to the Drill Down podcast on any of your favorite podcast platforms, including Player FM, Listen Notes, Deezer, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Amazon, Audible, Stitcher, Pandora. Isaac, I still can't do the whole list with one breath. It's so long. It includes Apple Podcasts and, yes, Spotify. If you don't like the way you're listening to it now, there's lots of options available, but make sure to hit the subscribe button to catch every show. I'm Corey Johnson. Welcome to the Drill Down. We explain the business stories behind stocks and a move. Joining me as always, executive producer Isaac Webster. Isaac, thanks for being here today.
Corey, thanks for having me. Corey, what stocks are you drilling down on today?
I want to start with a home builder, Hovnanian.
Hovnanian trades under HOV. HOV shares have dropped over 6% this week, but they've climbed 47% over the past 12 months. So what's going on with Hovnanian? Hovnanian. Well,
Hovnanian, and the stock down 11% after announcing earnings that were disappointing and some future growth prospects that sound disappointing. Now, this is a big company. It's while it's only a $500 million market cap with about $1.4 billion in debt and a little bit of cash, it's got about almost a $2 billion enterprise value, $1.7 billion to be exact. This company builds homes all over the country, in the Northeast, Southeast, in the West, Arizona, California, Texas, as well as, you know, other places, right? So what's interesting here, though, is that they are really pushing hard in a rising rate environment, or at least a higher rate environment, that's seen some pressure on certain home builders. They've had some success with build for rent. What is build for rent?
What does that mean, build for rent? Ooh. What does that mean?
I was glad you were asking. I was waiting for you to be asking. Well, build for rent. I'm so glad you asked, Isaac. Build for rent. So it used to be real estate investors would buy a house. If they wanted to have a rental property, they'd buy a house from a builder or from another homeowner, then turn it into a rental property instead of living in the home themselves. But build to rent real estate takes rental properties, investing to another level by building the house from the ground up for the specific purpose of renting to tenants. So it's not a house that was built to be lived in. It was a house that was built to be rented, and thereby attracting real estate investors, not just individual home buyers who want to live in those houses. And it's been one of the fastest growing sectors in the housing market for the last few years as rates have been coming up really kind of throughout the pandemic. But in this environment right now, when a lot of home builders are reporting difficulty with rising rates, mortgages are harder and harder to get, what's happening with build to rent? Well, Hovnanian CEO Ara Hovnanian shared this.
Interestingly, it's kind of followed the pattern of normal for sale communities. It slowed toward the last half of 22. Mortgage rates for our normal customers went up, but they also went up in the build for rent buyers as well. So a lot of them went to the sidelines for a bit. But as the market, in fact, picked up at the beginning of the calendar year, it seemed like the appetite for build for rent investors also picked up. So we're seeing that as a good little supplement to our normal business. It is choppier, though, because it depends on, you know, what transactions happened in a particular month. So it'll be volatile. But overall, we're optimistic about the long-term demand for Build for Rent, and we anticipate strategically making it a more important part of our overall portfolio.
So that wasn't enough to save the company, at least in the most recent quarter. But nonetheless, I think it's an interesting development in the world of real estate, Isaac, where you have these brand new homes that are built for the express purpose of rent.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't realize that was such a fast growing sector of this sector.
I think for builders right now, they're gonna hold on to anything that's giving them hope because it's so hard for home buyers to get mortgages, so much harder than at least than it has been.
Corey, what is your next drill down?
Let's look at our old favorite Sportsman's Warehouse.
Sportsman's Warehouse, yes, trades under SPWH and shares have fallen 26% over the past 5 days and fallen 48% over the past year. Talk to us about Sportsman's Warehouse.
So this company was a pandemic darling because they're in the fishing, camping, and shooting business. All those activities saw a huge surge in activity during the pandemic, and that's gone away. So they reported first quarter earnings, and they stunk. $268 million in revenues, down from $310 the same period the previous year. Same store sales down 18%. And it's worth noting they opened new stores. So to have that big sales decrease, not just in terms of same store sales declining, but having 11 more stores, but revenues were still down significantly. Now they blamed the weather. All right. Blame the weather in the West. Right. It was raining. Rained a lot. Although blaming the weather, whatever. Fewer people doing outdoor sports. They mentioned inflation. But gross profits, you know, down, gross profit margins down to $80 million from $99 million in the same period in the first quarter of last year. So they blame product mix. But the biggest change, Isaac, this company sells guns and they sell ammunition. And the decline in margins in the ammunition business, we've talked about a little bit in the show for listeners who might remember, but the ammunition business was huge a year ago and 2 years ago. And they could charge just about anything because inventory was so low. Well, the inventory's back. Well, here's what the CFO, I should say, of Sportsman's Warehouse, Jeffrey White, had to say.
In terms of ammunition, let's talk about industry and where we're at as we sit here today. The industry is very full and robust in terms of in-stocks in ammunition. The consumer is no longer buying excess boxes of ammo. They're coming in and buying what they use. They're able to find anything that they want at this point, and they're able to find, you know, copious quantities of it on the shelves. So there's really no reactionary behavior from the consumer. In terms of the competitive landscape, you know, we as noted, we've seen some declines in the margin profile, but I'm not seeing any aggressive promotional activity in the market like we saw pre-COVID when there was, you know, a ripe in-stock position or an overstock position. So I have yet to see aggressive promotional items. I think in terms of what we'll see going forward, it's back to a normal promotional cadence where you'll see good deals as some of the holiday seasons, Father's Day, you know, hunting seasons, holiday, those types of things, as we progress through those, I think we'll go back to a very normalized promotional cadence in the ammo business.
So ammo, just not where it was in terms of inventory, that you can get as much ammo as you need, and that doesn't lead to the prices that they were able to charge during the pandemic. Copious quantities of ammo.
I've got no comment on that.
How about that?
Yeah. Corey, what's your next drill down?
I want to look at S&P 500. Raleigh, North Carolina's only S&P 500 company, Advanced Auto Parts.
Advanced Auto Parts trades under AAP and shares have dropped 37% over the past 24 hours. Just a steep drop down if you're looking at a chart. And AAP shares are lower by 61% over the past 12 months. What's happening?
So the company reported, you mentioned, you know, 37% drop in 24 hours. Okay, so this sales of $3.4 billion. It's actually up a tiny bit from the first quarter of last year by opening new stores, not unlike the Sportsman Warehouse store we just discussed. But same store sales down 0.4%. But net income way down, almost 70% year over year, much worse than the lousy analysts on Wall Street were able to guess. By the way, have I gone off on this subject lately, but the whole notion that companies miss estimates is such garbage.
Corey, companies, I think you talk about this every single show.
Miss estimates. Miss analyze. Sorry. In any case, they really misanalyzed this one because they thought profit earnings would be down 13%. They were down 69%. And as a result of not earning a lot of money, the debt levels of this company are maybe a little worrisome. I mean, debt to EBITDA now at 3x EBITDA. Not a comfortable position, to say the least. So what were they blaming? Well, who aren't they blaming? Advanced Auto Parts is blaming that there are more new cars on the road, so fewer parts for older cars. It's blaming inflation for the cost of the parts that they're selling. They're blaming supply chains. Remember those?
I do.
The things that the last company we listened to weren't having any problems with anymore. Well, these guys still are, apparently. But something's off here because their competitors, O'Reilly and AutoZone, they did all right. They even saw same-store sales growth. So when asked about this, CEO Tom Greco of Advanced Auto Parts, to my liking, he didn't have great answers. He did, however, try to break down what was happening, at least in terms of why the professional segment wasn't doing so well for them, even as the do-it-yourselfers, the DIYers, fixing their own beat-up cars, that business was okay. Listen to Advanced Auto Parts CEO Tom Greco.
In terms of the sales, I mean, DIY was generally in line with our expectations. We were down low single digits in transactions, up mid single digits in average ticket. We posted a positive comp, you know, generally in line. As you know, in Pro, the goal was to invest in inventory and make sure that our competitive price index was in line with where we had targeted. We want to drive our units. We want to drive transactions. We're trying to increase our share of wallet with our existing customers, get back to where we were. We're actually making good progress on improving units and transactions in the quarter. We improved. We were down low single digits in transactions in the quarter, but that was a nice improvement from where we were at the end of last year. So we're getting more jobs with our installers. The challenge is twofold. We're not getting enough lift yet, so it is taking longer to recover share of wallet with our existing customers. That's been the biggest issue that we faced so far this year. We're going to stay at it. It's taking longer than we'd like, though. And then in terms of our average ticket in Pro, it was up low single digits, which is significantly below how we planned that business. And as we look forward, you know, that's going to be a big P&L headwind for the year.
So headwinds are the worries here that this lousy quarter is going to be followed by more lowering guidance. Again, talking about their average ticket prices, not up a lot, given where inflation is. But just kind of bad results from this company suggesting that maybe it's not just a bad environment, but maybe a bad company. All right, strip malls. They aren't working for everyone, but they are working for our next guest, Whitestone REIT CEO Dave Holloman. Now, his malls in the Southwest and Texas, they are seeing rents surging right now, despite inflation, despite worries about the economy. Something's working at these malls. What is it? We're going to dig into their business and see how it's working with Dave Holloman of Whitestone REIT right after this.
The Drill Down is brought to you by Braintrust, a global talent network that matches highly skilled technical freelancers with the world's most reputable brands. Braintrust has helped clients like Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Porsche, Under Armour, and more build agile tech teams fast at a fraction of the cost. Visit Braintrust.com. That's BRAINTRUST.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Drill Down Podcast. We're joined right now by Whitestone REIT CEO, Dave Holloman, joining us from Houston, probably?
From Houston, yes, sir.
Is that, our listeners cannot see us, but it looks like over your shoulder is a giant cash register, a golden cash register.
That is correct. The listeners can't see us, but I do have a cash register behind me in my office.
Is it a side job? What do you, you know, in case this REIT thing doesn't work out?
No, just a remnant from the past.
It's interesting. My friend Tom Siebel has a Turing machine, a keyboard from the, you know, the original Enigma machine that cracked the codes in World War II. And I was once short a stock where the CEO of a gaming company in Las Vegas had a Wall Street sign behind his desk, which suggested to me he was more focused on the stock than the business. But you are focused on your business, which sounds like a bad business to be in right now, and that is managing commercial real estate in 2023 in this REIT. Make the case for me that your business, which has been thrown out, baby, with bathwater, is different than the plight of some commercial real estate.
Well, first of all, Corey, thanks for having me on, and it's a pleasure to join you today. It does seem like commercial real estate's often in one category in the headlines. What I'd like to share with you and your listeners today is how Whitestone is very different, and there are very different types of commercial real estate, even though the headlines today seem to lump all of that together.
Certainly true. So let's talk about what type of real estate we're referring to.
Sure. Whitestone REIT. We are focused on shopping center. Shopping centers, typically 100,000 square feet. We operate in Texas and Arizona today in really the largest and fastest growing MSAs, and then look to have shopping centers extremely well located, embedded with neighborhoods, and then put together a great mix of tenants.
Would those tenants include, I don't know, there's a bridal company that went under a few weeks ago, Bed Bath & Beyond as well, you know, tenants that were once popular aren't anymore. How do you manage that, and what is the duration of your leases? How does that compare to industry norms?
Yeah, great question. So maybe I'll just roll back and back a few years when I think about our space and the activities that's gone on. A number of years ago, REITs in this space tended to fill up centers with big box hard goods and soft goods retailers, try to keep their expenses low. And there was some success in this, you know, in the more static world with lower inflation, lower interest rates. And most of these REITs signed long-term leases with really, you know, flatter rate structures, but over a long term. And the pitch was safety. I don't think that's turned out to be entirely true. If you signed a 15-year lease with Bed Bath & Beyond or Toys R Us, and you wake up 15 years later in a different world than when the lease was signed. So at Whitestone, I think our core thesis is we believe that active management really can provide higher returns. And there's a lot that we can unpack in that. But with that, we have smaller spaces, we have shorter leases, and we love to be very active in the real estate. We put a lot of time in knowing the consumer, trying to identify trends, find out what's coming, not what's here, look to put together a tenant mix that complements each other. And then from a lease structure perspective, as you asked, we love the shorter leases. I think in terms of kind of gardening, at times you nurture your success and sometimes you weed. You know, both are critical activities. So Whitestone believes in active management, love putting together a well-curated tenant mix, but I would say our core thesis focuses on active as opposed to historically a little more passive in our space.
Well, so let's talk about that, because that's been both internally in your SEC filings, you talk about the duration of the leases and the risks that can create, and that's certainly been a criticism of the company, or at least questions raised, our listeners know I won't dance around it. I'll call a spade a spade. Short leases expose you to changes in the economic cycle, which is good on the way up and bad on the way down. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair to say, but I will tell you, you know, part of my philosophy is, and part of my style is I believe in being very truthful and identifying problems and handling them. So if you think about signing a long-term flat lease, you may feel good, but there may be underlying issues. So I would rather have the opportunity to actively work with tenants, have shorter leases. In good times, obviously, those businesses are succeeding. We're able to push our rents up. In down times, I would rather be able to work with a tenant, try to help them in their business. But if ultimately they don't make it, be able to replace that tenant. So we believe that shorter leases allow us to be active in both good and bad times. And I'm not a believer in in bad times having a shopping center that's got a bunch of tenants paying rent that are dark. I mean, we want to be active. We want to move. We want to work the space. We want to be able to move tenants. The shorter leases also provide less restrictions on the owner. So if you think in terms of value, clearly a lot of value comes from the rights you have. So we're very careful with the rights we have in our real estate. And those longer term national tenants tend to have more restrictions, more control of the real estate. So we think the benefits of the shorter lease and active management outweigh potentially downside, from a shorter lease term.
Give me an example of a trend that you guys see coming and that you're encouraging by seeing more of this particular company. I'll let you pick one to move into your centers.
Sure. I think maybe I'll just start with a little bit of a trend and then go to a tenant. But I think you've probably heard this, but in our space, work from home. I mean, everyone hears that what's going on in the office world these days. For Whitestone and some of our peers that operate in suburban markets, we're continuing to see people orbiting and revolving around their homes more. And so we've benefited from the trend of the work from home, the hybrid workforce, which I think will continue in some format. From a tenant perspective, I think continuing to see food, I would tell you food is our largest category. And in that food category, we group grocery and restaurants. So maybe a little different than others. I believe the biggest competitor to the grocery store is probably the restaurant, because that's where people are looking for ways to feed their families in a quick way. So we continue to see great entrepreneurial businesses in the food category. We've had some more of the Korean hot pot restaurants. We've seen some folks from the West Coast move into our markets with, I think Dozone was a Seattle-based Asian concept that we've added recently. Around fitness, continue to see personal fitness continue to evolve and be very, very popular. I think coming out of the pandemic, there was a concentration of folks on their health and wellness. So we continue to see fitness be a great category for us.
Yeah, restaurants, I wanted to drill down on that a little bit because we heard from, on a recent show, we heard from Kraft Heinz, and they talked about people cooking at home more, inflation hitting them in the pocketbook, in the wallet, and therefore the pocketbook. What am I, 7,000 years old? The pocketbook. In any case, the cliches come. But people maybe going to restaurants a little bit less. And I wonder what that means for you with such a concentration in restaurants.
Sure.
Maybe you're not seeing that.
No, yeah, sure. Good question. Restaurants is our biggest category as far as a percent of our base rent. One of the things that Whitestone has always embraced is, diversifying our risk. If you look at Whitestone's tenant mix, we have our largest tenant is just a little over 2% of revenue, and we have about 1,500 tenants in 5 million square feet. So really, from an individual tenant perspective, we manage our risk and our concentration. The restaurants that we have in our centers, we focus more on the family and quick service restaurants. We locate our centers in probably higher household incomes than some of the average in a community we operate in. So we are we believe in our centers, one of the primary factors continues to be convenience. As I mentioned, people working from home, hybrid workplaces, that doesn't mean you have more time. I think sometimes that means you have less time because you're running to more children's activities, you're doing more things. And so we continue to see convenience drive behavior, and the restaurants in our portfolio continue to do very well. I will tell you, I think we're located in very good markets, probably some of the fastest job population growth markets in the country.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look through the numbers on your recent conference call. You talked about increase in the number of leases, increase in the square footage, the average rent per square foot. You don't talk about traffic, and I have always wondered how companies in your business measure traffic. I'm sure you do.
Yeah, technology in our business has changed over a number of years and is extremely helpful. So we use data in numerous ways. I mean, the source we use for traffic is called Placer AI.
Uses that, right?
Yep, everybody uses it. It tracks your phone. Obviously, you have some app, but it gives us a lot of great info. It gives us great info on how long people are staying at our centers, how that particular tenant is performing compared to their other stores. Say you have a franchise, it will let you know, is that franchise one of the top performing as far as traffic in your area, in their portfolio? It tells us where people go from your center and where they come from to your center. So that's a great thing we look at. If we have the traffic tells us that if they're going to a particular place, it might be a void or a need in our center. So we do look at traffic. I mean,
let me drill down to that just a little bit more. So I get you want to see how many bodies walk into the hot pot restaurant versus the taco place. I don't know, whatever. The Cinnabon. But what are you learning if they go somewhere else?
I think you're learning their traffic patterns, right? So you could be learning several things. You're learning where are your customers coming from? That would be coming to our center, right? Where do they live? Where do they frequent? So the other piece of data we use is a service that helps us really drill down on demographics and psychographics. Who are the consumers? What do they spend? What are the categories they spend on? So I think that data helps you understand, like you said, are they coming to our center? How long are they spending? But a bit more about their profile and what types of services are needed. Really crucial to everything we do. I mean, at the simplest form, we're a business that provides a home for businesses that meet the needs of the community that you can't get online. So we've got to make sure we understand the needs. We do that. I think one of the things that differentiates Whitestone is much more of a local company.
What do you mean?
Just because of our footprint being two states, Texas and Arizona, compared to some of our peers that are spread out more across the country, we fundamentally believe that real estate continues to be a local business. It's important to live and work in an area, know who the best tenants are in various categories, and know your neighborhood. So in our markets, we have all of our own people that do our leasing, do our property management, interact regularly with tenants. So we believe very strongly in the value of that local knowledge.
Now, in your 10K, you talk about the risk imposed by the inability to sell certain properties when you decide they aren't working. In your conference calls, you talk about acquiring new properties. So where are you in this cycle, and what are you seeing right now in terms of prices? Let me start with, are prices on your assets and assets like yours up or down in the last 6 months?
I'm just excited that someone's reading the risk factors in our Form 10K. that's great.
you're the first CEO in my entire life who's been excited that I'm reading about risk factors.
so I will. I'll give you some commentary on our assets and their values. We're in a time that's somewhat unprecedented in many ways, in that there are many signs that we're headed toward a recession. There's inflationary signs, but there doesn't appear to be significant stress on businesses and people as far as jobs so far. So with that, the transaction market for our types of products are pretty shallow. You're just not seeing in our markets, you're not seeing people buy and sell a lot of our types of shopping centers. So it's hard to get a true valuation of the assets. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, all of us that have been in real estate for a number of years, it really enjoy cycles. It's where you make money as an acquirer and seller of cycles. But this cycle is a little different because the stress that maybe was there in 2008 with people needing to sell isn't currently present. We're keeping our eye out, and we think there may be opportunities for companies like Whitestone to be, you know, be acquisitive in our markets when the opportunities present themselves. But right now, from a value perspective, there's not a lot of transparency with third-party sales.
Maybe there will be because of the leverage problems that we've seen in some of the regional banks, where, in other words, where you've got some kind of short-term credit with some of the people who bought properties on a lot of margin, maybe can't continue to handle the rising rates.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think we will see. I mean, I think we'll see folks that are having to deal with that. You'll see private owners of real estate that it's too much work. You know, in a very low rate interest rate environment, it was easier. Now it's more work. And I think you'll see holders of real estate that need to raise capital. And sometimes that means selling their better assets and holding on to those office buildings that may wait for another day.
Do you think you've got an ability to tune up certain properties?
Tune up meaning energize. Is that what you mean by tune up?
Yeah, take a put some lipstick on a pig.
Sure. I do think I think you have to be very real about that. I think, as I said, to me, real estate is a local business. You've heard the phrase location, location, location. There's a lot to be said in that. So I think it's important that you really understand the trade areas. We look to a mile to 3 mile radius. Our centers tend to be necessity based, high frequency of visits, and so. Assuming you have a center that's in a emerging neighborhood, that the trends are going the right way, absolutely, you can make improvements. You can also, as we've bought properties over the years, you can do some immediate improvements that aren't super costly that matter. Maybe putting lipstick on the pig. One of the things is, visibility is extremely important in our business. So looking to make sure you have good signage. Looking to make sure you have convenient parking. So for us, it's very, very important. We interact with our customers, our tenants, understand what their needs are and address those. And largely, a lot of those are traffic related and visibility related.
Interesting stuff. Dave Holman is the CEO of Whitestone REIT. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
All right, coming up next on the Drill Down to Bites, the one number that tells us a whole lot more about Whitestone right after this.
The Drill Down is brought to you by Era. With Era, give yourself an information advantage, connect directly to earnings calls and other investor events with live transcription and event intelligence. That's Era, AIERA.com.
And leave us a review. Let us know how you like the podcast. Let the rest of the world know how you like the podcast. And you go to Apple, iTunes, or any other services and tell the world what you think of the Drill Down.
And let us know what companies you think we should be drilling down on. Talk to us on Twitter and Instagram by following at DrillDownPod and connect with us directly at our website, bizpod.net.
All right, we're back with the Drill Down Bite, the one number that tells us a whole lot. And I referenced this in that interview, Isaac, the revenue per square foot, the rent per square foot for the shopping centers at Whitestone REIT. And it's up, and it's up a lot from 2022. They're up 4.7%, which I consider a meaningful increase. That annual rent per square foot for a shopping mall in Arizona or Texas?
Drum Isaac, roll, ready? Please. Yeah, I'm ready for it. Give it to me.
$222.22.
That's pretty good.
I think it's pretty. It's a little bit higher than I would have expected in places like Arizona and Texas. But I think the most important thing is that number is up. We see so many headlines about, Bed Bath & Beyond going under. In San Francisco, huge headlines about Nordstrom leaving kind of the biggest shopping mall in downtown San Francisco.
Yeah.
Big changes in retail. And they're almost always negative changes. They're never about the slow growth or never about the growth in hot pot. And the immediacy of parking.
Yeah,
who knew?
Yeah, I did not know until this conversation.
We should change the name of the show. Just call Who Knew?
Who knew?
Yeah, maybe not. We'll stick with the Drill Down. Yeah. You've been listening to the Drill Down Podcast. We're grateful for that. Isaac Webster is our executive producer. Ben Wilson is our editor extraordinaire. I'm Corey Johnson. The Drill Down is a production of the Business Podcast Network.